Continue. Let's go to Acts. Please, the team members, you're also a part of this meeting. I really want everyone to be here. Not even because of what I want to say now, or this one too is important, but because of the message we're talking about. Acts 1. Now, let me look for something. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, let's not go there. Let's read on completed. Acts 1 from verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem. So this is after Jesus had appeared and told them to stay in Jerusalem. Okay? Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem. A Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. All together, the number of names was about 120, and said, the point I just want to make is a very simple point, that they took roll call in the upper room. Do you understand my point? That's the point I want to make. Now, I said earlier that one of the best things you can do, one of the best decisions you can make, is always be present in church. And please, I'm not responding to anything. I just feel I should just say this. I've said it a couple of times before, but I feel I should just say this again. It's always be present in church and to always participate in church. Huh? Because there is a roll call. You wouldn't know yet, but eventually you'll find out that people who skip meetings don't amount to anything. That's typically how it is. So when I say, for instance, that I want people to be in church, it's not because I want numbers, because I know there's no emotion involved in the thing. If you're not in the meeting, you are missing out. Okay? Don't be religious. Don't say, God knows my heart. You know that kind of thing. Don't say that. It's not true. Huh? It is not true. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? God really knows I wanted to be there, but the prayer too will reach me. You know, those kind of mentality is not... It's not true. If you want to be there, you will be there. You get. All right. For instance, I take roll call of who does not come for prayer meeting. Me, personally. I personally note those that don't like coming for prayers. And the reason is simple. These are the ones that you can't give certain responsibilities to. It won't work. So I need to be careful. All right, so that's just an aside. So last week we spoke about evangelism. Abby? Evangelism. Who can recap for us what they learned? All right. Joshua, can we give Joshua a mic?
Praise God. Okay. So I think what I learned basically, or what was like a barrier-breaking moment for me was when you said when evangelizing, people just tend to focus on one aspect of evangelism. Mm. But there are actually three aspects. There's preaching, there's healing the sick, and then there's deliverance. So I've gone for evangelism in the past, but most of the times I was unequipped, basically, because I was under-preparing. Mm. In terms of, I didn't have the knowledge that there were other aspects. I just thought, okay, if I go out, share the word, my story, show people scriptures, and then the Holy Spirit does what it. So in summary, yeah, it was just a whole new revelation for me.
That's very powerful. All right, any other person? You're welcome.
So it's also similar to what Joshua said. What I learned was that evangelism is not just restricted to just preaching and, you know, sharing tracts and all those kind of things. That it has, is like a full package of preaching, healing, and deliverance. And so, yeah, that's what I learned from last meeting.
Amen. Amen. Can we do a quick walk? Let's mix up the seats. I think I'll like it better that way. So, who wants to give up their seat there? No, everybody can't go now. Everybody can't go. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Move there. And someone should come. You have 4 slots here. Who wants to sit here? Because you are doing your face like this, come and stay here. Come and stay here. Yeah, who else? Ike? Come on. All right, we need 2 more. One more person. Nimi, are you okay? You guys should stay at the center. I guess the show should stay at the center. Just say, okay, yeah. Come forward. Is this your first time? Okay. Fantastic. Do you have a Bible? Do you have a Bible? Okay. You probably need to share with someone that has a Bible. Does anybody have a Bible? Huh? You have a Bible. I bring it out now. All right. So, we said last week, let us go to the scripture. Matthew 4. I hope everybody is here with me. If you are here with me, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Is it cold? Huh? Okay, so now it's cold. But it's only, maybe just, did you just turn off this one also? Oh, no, this one, maybe this one is the one that is. Praise God. All right, so in Matthew 4, verse 23. Now, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. And then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Amen. And we see here that you see the proof. When you say the gospel is a message that has proof, are we together? Right. Please understand this thing. There's a proof of the gospel. Huh? Are you with me? You know what I mean by proof of the gospel? What I mean is that there's the evidence that the gospel is true. Praise God. Now, the preaching of the kingdom is what brings salvation. All right? And salvation is its own issue. Meaning that no matter what is happening on the earth, the issue of salvation is separate. Do you understand my point? Whether you are poor, you are rich, you are blind, you don't have leg, you need to be saved. Are we together? All right? Now, the way to be saved is to receive the gospel. You believe in Jesus, personal Lord and Savior, that kind of stuff. However, your problem is not that you are saved. What I mean is that your perception of your problem is not that you are unsaved. Do you get my point? All right? A human being does not know the need for salvation. He is told that he needs to be saved. Are you understanding me? All right? Now, what is your problem? Every human problem falls into two categories. The first is, and the two are caused by demons. The first is health issues. The second is deliverance. Meaning demons are tormenting you at various levels. Do we understand? And so, are you guys hearing me? Is the rain? Okay. And so, these two problems are not solved by the same way salvation is a separate issue from your life circumstances. This one too is a separate issue in the sense that it's not by faith. Most human beings are demonized. I'll explain what that means, but I'm just trying to lay a, we've already said this last week. So,
the gospel, if you're going to preach the gospel, right, even though it is a separate issue, it has the result of it. In other words, whenever the gospel is preached, the fact that the gospel is preached means it's like a secondary issue, but it's a major secondary issue. There's salvation, right? But the fact that you preach the gospel and then you have taken people, or what you are saying is that you need to be taken from the kingdom of darkness into light. By implication, what that means is that if what you are saying is true, you will solve the major problems that men have. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is anyone confused? Shall I come back? Okay. So, usually when the gospel is preached, you always see a flow of healing and deliverance. And that's what we read in the scripture. You get. Now, Jesus Christ is comfortable with us preaching, going. He gets. But it's just the way it happens that the things that are hindering people usually fall into these two categories. And so, it's a proof of the gospel. If you go to someone and say that my gospel is true, how does the person know that your gospel is true if you cannot deliver the person from a demon? Are we together? We're together. Now, please, just know this so that you will not be too religious. Huh? Because you can be religious and think that, nah, you don't need these things. These things are lower things. You know, many of us think that deliverance is these are things of, we have left this one. We are now inside Revelation. You know, we have left this realm. Amen. please, don't think that way. Huh? All right. So, Jesus Christ displayed this. And we're making a whole point about how, as at this point in time, there was no concept of an evangelist in Israel. Huh? In Israel, you only had priests, prophets. Are we together? And teacher, which is rabbi. Okay? You didn't have the concept of an evangelist. The first person that expressed this is someone called Philip. Huh? He's the first person that was called an evangelist. And then we also looked in Acts, where Philip went to Samaria, Acts 8, where Philip went to Samaria after persecution. And let's go there so that. Acts 8 from verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, right? And so even the very first evangelism, that was the first major evangelism that the church did, you had these signs. Okay? So there was the belief in what she said, and that belief happened as a result of the deliverance and the healing. Huh? I'm just saying, this is scripture. This is not your perspective. We always want to be we always want to think that this thing should be taken higher. But in a nutshell, what I'm saying is that if you cast out demons and you operate healing, more people will believe God. Are we together? That's what I'm saying. So, we can't be wiser than Jesus now. This is scripture you get. So, ultimately, these three things is the spirit of evangelism. Meaning, this is the mindset, this is the mind state of evangelism. Whenever we say we want to evangelize, what we want to do is to preach the gospel. What we also want to do is to send out unclean spirits. In other words, deliver people. The other thing we want to do is that we want to get people healed. Okay? Cool. So, we're going to look at those three things. Now, what captures everything is preaching. So, look at that last. Because preaching is the vehicle through which everything happens. What we'll look at first is deliverance. Then we'll go into healing. Is that good? Then we'll wrap it up with preaching. Alright? So this is just a series. I don't know when this thing will end. Maybe it will end in 1 month or something. But I can even pause it if I feel that we've done enough. Just an aside, before we go into what we are looking at today, not only are these things the signs of evangelists, when I say evangelism, I'm not talking about evangelism as per the office of the evangelist, but let me move away from that because that is complicated. I don't want to complicate this thing at all. But in Matthew 17, not Matthew 17. Mark 16. From verse 15. Or rather, from verse 14. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. Right? So, these signs follow those that believe. Are we together? So, in the mind of Jesus Christ, when he's talking to his disciples, right? He tells them, or rather here, he told them, go and preach to every creature. The creature here is man. Right? Go and preach to every man, woman, child, whatever. And preach the kingdom of God. Now, these signs will follow you. Right? So, we also said that these things occur as a result of faith. Are we together? That it is faith that brings us into the reality of this thing. It is not initially your maturity. Are we together here? Right? It is not initially your maturity. It is belief that brings you into the reality of these things. Huh? So, you don't have the authority to cast out demons because you are a mature believer. Huh? You have the authority to cast out demons because you are a believer. Are we together? Huh? It is because you are a believer that you have the authority to cast out demons. And the last thing we said was that you have the authority. So it's like you're building a block, or it's like you're building a house right now. We've established that it is belief or faith, right? Now, to grow in the faith, you have to pray. Are we together? And that's where we'll end today. That without prayer, you can't grow in the faith of these things. Praise God. Okay. Let's go to Job. So I want to talk about deliverance today. And I want to talk about the three ways that people are demonized, the three levels. We know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? That steal, kill, and destroy happens at three levels. So we'll look at the story of Job and bring out all the levels and all we are going to do today. Job 1. Now, let me just say this thing, that the reason why I'm teaching, why I'm going on this series, is so that you'll be equipped. Because you have to, you typically learn these things better when at your age. Amen. Huh? It's at your age that you tend to learn these things better. Usually, when people are older, it's harder for them to have faith for these things, so that you can be an effective evangelist when you are sent out to do evangelism. Also, so that you can be an evangelist in your family. Are you with me? Job 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. Now his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did regularly. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God
for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now, we'll continue reading, but you know, typically when you might think, when you think of Satan and God, right? Satan rebelled against God, you know that, right? At least if you don't know that, you know that now. And you might think of God and Satan as not always talking, meaning Satan is just on his own doing his own thing. God is on his own doing his own thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? But from this scripture, we can see that Satan has communication with God. Are we together? Meaning that they interact. Are you sleepy? You're not sleepy. Okay. Meaning that they interact. Huh? And they interact on a level that is almost like there is no malice between them. Do you understand my point? Meaning that, the way God is talking to Satan, he's not talking to him as if he's angry at him. You don't get that sense. He's just talking to him like a normal guy, right? Now, the reason why it appears this way, which is the first point I want to make, is that why are you people sleeping in the morning? I don't understand. Aisha, what happened? You didn't sleep on time last night. Do you want to stand up? Okay. You too, do you want to stand up? Okay. The teaching is boring. Okay, so the reason, the first thing I want to say is that the spirit realm, and this is why you need scripture, why you need to understand scripture, so that you don't assume, right? The spirit realm operates as a legal system. Huh? Meaning, God consistently has court sessions where people come and make legal cases. Are we together? Now, what is happening here is a court session. They just didn't say it that way. Right? Now, what are the elements of a court session? You have a judge. Right? You have a prosecution, meaning there's a matter, right, that they've brought before the courts. So you have a prosecution. Now the matter concerns someone, right? So you have a judge, you have the person that is the subject of the court session, right? Then you then have two sides of arguments. You have the prosecution, you have the lawyer or the advocates, right? Now, the point of that court session is to determine what is going to happen on that matter, right? Now, in Revelation 12, let's go to Revelation 12. Revelation 12, verse
Let me start from verse 9. So the great dragon, are we there? So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down." Right? So they are giving a description of Satan as an accuser. Right? And they are saying that this guy, day and night, consistently is before God making accusations. Are we together? Now, you recall from what we just read in Job that what Satan said about Job was an accusation. Meaning that God said, "Look at my servants, he's a good guy." Right? So God initiated the issue. Satan then said, "No, he's not a good guy." Right? So Satan introduced an accusation of, what will we call it, fake love. That this guy doesn't really love you. The only reason why he loves you is because you are protecting him. Are we together? So Satan was the one that accused Job. Now, because Satan brought that accusation before the court, God had to address it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because the court, it's not like, the way God will respond is not, "How can you say that? Get out of here, I don't believe you." That's not the way he would talk. He said, "Okay, you have brought this thing. Oh yeah, let's test it." Are we together? Now, we'll go to why I'm saying this thing, but I just need to understand first that the spirit realm primarily operates as a legal system. Okay? Now, let's continue. Job, where are we? Job 1:13. "Now, there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. When the Sabaeans raided them and took them away, indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was speaking, another also came and said, 'The fire of God fell from heaven and burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'The Chaldeans formed three hands, raided the camels and took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. As suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young men and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you.' Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head. And he fell to this ground and worshipped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" Now, please, you know, in this, a lot of wahala has happened because of lack of understanding of that last thing I read. The Lord gave, and the Lord take away. Now, the Lord did not take away. The Lord did not take away from Job. We know what caused it. It's Satan that took away. Are we? Okay. So the Lord does not give and please, you get. Now, but the first point is that we saw that Job was talking from a place of ignorance here. You understand? So, the first point, when Satan said, okay, I will touch him. Right? Now, God gave Satan permission to touch all that he has, but leave him. Are we together? So, the first area of demonization, I'm just calling it demonization. Now, in the physical, you'll have just thought that, oh, there was a hurricane. Oh, the market crashed. Oh, this happened, that happened. But we understand that the behind the scenes was that Satan caused a destruction on his possessions. Are we together? Are we together? So, the first area of demonization, when demons are active, because you know, this is the purest form of demonization, meaning that demons have been given okay by God. Because before, Satan could not have access to him. Why? Because of the sacrifices that he was making. Do you understand? Right? So Job was sacrificing things. He was living according to the principles of God in quotes. And that made a protection around him. Right? But now, God had given Satan permission. So God removed the protection. Right? And the very first thing that happened was the things around him were attacked. Huh? So, a lot of human casualty, and you need to bring this thing home, right, to yourself, right? A lot of the casualty that perhaps even your parents have endured in life are caused by demons. Are we together? Are we together? A good way to understand it is to just look at this kind of what happened to Job. Meaning consistent attack is like things are just going down quickly. Quickly. Right? Attack here. Rather, something bad will happen here. 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 Right? I don't know, maybe in your house that's happened before, that the moment your father made one big money, somebody went to go and break their leg. They now carried all the money to pay medical bill. Has it happened to you before? It doesn't happen to anybody here before. It doesn't happen to you before. Amen. Amen. Alright? So, that's the very first area of demonization. Well, in chapter 2, let's go to verse 3, chapter 2. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job that there is none like him on the earth? Let's just go to verse 4. Let's continue. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job that there is none like him on the earth? A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. And still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely cut your face. So the first one did not work. So Satan increased another, or he leveled another accusation. Then God then said, oh yeah, go and touch his health. Right? And then Satan, verse 7, the Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. So, he's still on attack, but then we are looking at the two areas of attack. The first is the possessions, the second is the health. Okay? And that's why
last week, or rather when we read, I think when we read it this week, we saw that there are people that you will... Yeah, I said that last week. That's why deliverance and healing goes hand in hand, because a lot of health issues are caused by demons. So at times, you can send a demon out of someone, and even though you didn't pray for a particular issue, you just notice that a health issue has been solved in the person because it's part of what the demon is doing. Praise God. Are you with me? So there's no time, so I'll just say maybe like two more things and then we'll close. So, attack. Now, in verse 9, then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold to your integrity? Curse God and die." Now, this is the, you know, this is a sly, the first is attack, possessions, health, physical. The second is torments in terms of demonization. Now, what his wife is doing is another level of Satan. Huh? The voice in your head that tells you you can't make it. Huh? Now, that's another level. Because it's one thing to be, you might not understand it because they're not married, but it's one thing to be going through things, another thing for your wife to be constantly tormenting you. Let me show you something. In Job 19, how long will you, then Job answered and said, how long will you torment my soul and break me in pieces with words? All right? Now, this is one of the primary effects of accusation, torment. We've looked at attack, now we're looking at torment. Words can torment. All right? So, another level of demonization is words. Demons can operate through human beings to speak torment. Or the demon can be talking to you directly. Huh? This is where you have issues like low self-esteem. Right? Everybody that has low self-esteem is fellowshipping with a demon. Okay? Are you with me? And this is part of the reason why I want the team members to be here, so that you would also understand. Huh? It's a demon that is talking to the person. It's not just, oh, my emotions are down. Right? Now, it's not every demon, I'm going ahead of myself, but it's not every demon that you deal with via deliverance. But you should just know what you are dealing with. So, torment is another route of demonization. We'll continue next week, but let us go to 1 John 2. Or let me round up on torment. So we've looked at the first element of torment, which is... Now, what is torment? What I mean by torment is torture. Praise God. Right? Because you see, the point... Satan and his demons, they hate men. Right? Are you with me? They hate men. And so they take pleasure in torturing men. Do you get my point? So the point of the demon is to torture. There's no explanation for it. It's not a logical... you can't make sense of it. Right? It's just what it is. It's to torture. Right? And there's torture of... For instance, you know, there's torture of... they'll slap you, beat you. There's spiritual torture. Right? So... By torment, I mean torture. We looked at the first area of that torment, which is words. Okay?
words. Veomi, shout hallelujah. So, for instance, I know that part of my job is to always ensure that I pray before I preach or I teach, so that anybody that has heard a word, for instance, that they will not amount to anything, as I'm preaching, the power of God can set the person free. Okay? First John 4. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Huh? Because fear involves torments. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. All right? So then there's also the torment of fear. All right? Amen. What I'm saying is real, though. I'm not saying... What I'm saying is very real. What I'm saying is that if you want to talk to your people about Jesus Christ, you can start the conversation with, are you afraid? Let me pray for you. The demon will go. That's what I'm saying. You get what I'm saying? What I'm saying is very real. Amen. Fear is torture. Fear is a kind of very debilitating torture. It can lead you to suicide. It can lead to all sorts of things. I don't know. Maybe I'm saying it. Am I saying it too simple? Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Maybe I should be giving an example here and there. Because I feel like I'm just saying it too simple. Well, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Let's go to Isaiah 61. So the torment of fear paralyzes people. It makes people unable to be free in God. Or maybe because the demons in Nigeria are not too sophisticated. That's why you don't understand what I'm saying. Or you understand what I'm saying, but you don't really see it. Maybe if you go to UK, you understand what I'm saying. There are some people, for instance, a lot of people that carry you to Ikeja City Mall. Eh? Ordinary Ikeja City Mall. I say, stay here and don't do your thing. Not even preach, just do your thing, right? All of a sudden, you just start remembering that your shoe is not good. Right? Abina? If I take you to a particular place, or if I give you a particular job, maybe like now, they give you a job at a company where there's no black person in the office. You start thinking, am I good enough for this? Ah, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. Huh? Now, in the world, there's the name they've given it, imposter syndrome. Abi? It's demon. Okay? It's a demon that is tormenting. It's just torturing. That's all. It's not, that's all it does. It's just, you are not good enough. You are not good enough. You are not beautiful. You are not fine. Do you know what I'm saying? Almost all teenage girls are fighting this demon. Right? You're not fine. You're not fine. You're not fine. You're not fine. Nobody will marry you. Nobody will marry you. You're not fine. You're not fine. See how old you are. No boyfriend yet. You're not fine. It's just torture. Day and night, torturing. Torture. 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 And it might seem like a joke, but that is the reason why people make destructive choices in life. Huh? I think there was a story this week of a lady that one cultist killed the girl or something like that. Or maybe you wouldn't know. But there are many ladies, for instance, that are dating full-blown cultists. They know this guy is a cultist. They know that there's a risk that this guy will use them for blood money ritual. But they will still date him. Why? The fear of lack of money. Okay? So let's go to Isaiah 61. And as you preach, well, we'll get there. That's why preaching is the last one, because preaching is the vehicle. So as you preach, you rely on the Holy Spirit to guide you. And then you attack the demon. Okay? Isaiah 61. Ah, time has gone. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. We'll look into this in more detail next week, but there is something called the spirit of heaviness. Now, Jesus Christ was saying here that the reason why I'm preaching, he has anointed me to deliver people, blah, blah, blah. Then he then says, I'm going to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I mean, there's going to be a replacement, right? And so you either have the garment of praise or the spirit of heaviness. Are we together? Now, that spirit of heaviness is what you call emotional issue, which usually manifests as anxiety that eventually leads to depression. Okay? So we'll look at that into more detail, because that's another area of torment, anxiety, stroke, depression. Now, lastly, in 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, what his advocate means is that this is, Jesus Christ is the lawyer on your side. You see, what Job did not have, you have. All right? Meaning that there was nobody that was operating for Job in that court. So Job was the one defending himself. But that is no longer so. Right now, Jesus Christ is now an advocate. Right? So Jesus Christ, for every accusation of Satan, Jesus Christ is responding to him. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like that. It's verbally like that. It's not a metaphoric thing. It's like that. So, why is that important? That is important because the major tool of deliverance is the blood of Jesus. Are we together? Through the blood of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus is a cheat code. Are we together? Now, this court is a very funny court. The lawyer that is representing you is the son of the judge. The judge likes you. The lawyer likes you. And they have made the law favor you. Meaning that because of the blood of Jesus, there is no accusation of Satan that can stand. Do you get? So, this is the reason why if any Christian engages Satan, the outcome is already sure, which is victory. Do you get my point? That's why they don't need your maturity. They first need your belief. You get my point? Because you can't enter that court and make a case. It's not about you. Do you get my point? So, if there was time, we'll have looked at how to engage the court by prayer. All right. So, if there's prayer and understanding and faith, what happens is that we are able to deliver people from. Well, first, we're able to deliver ourselves, right? Because some of us, the torment is with us. Number two, we're able to deliver people, our family, our people, when we go out to preach, and also in our houses. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Who is leading us in prayer?